Welcome to our Monday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm continuing a series that I've been doing now for 3 weeks, I believe, or this is the beginning of my third week, talking about knowing God by faith. And I've covered a lot of material in this. For the first couple of weeks, I basically just emphasized how important knowing God is. A lot of people come to the Lord to get their sins forgiven so that they won't die and go to hell. And even though that's a wonderful thing to do, that is stopping way short of what salvation is really all about. The real heart of salvation is getting your sins removed so that you can come into intimacy and knowing God. And knowing God is what it's all about. The scriptures that I started this series with out of Philippians chapter 3, Paul said that he counted everything but loss for the excellency of knowing Christ. It was about knowing God. And I mean, this was written decades after he had been born again. When he was talking about knowing God, he didn't talk about just knowing who he was. Like when you first get born again and you come to a realization that he exists and you ask for your sins to be forgiven, and then everything is on hold until basically you go to heaven, and then that's when your relationship with God kicks in. No, here he was decades after his born-again experience, and he was saying, "Oh, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection," Philippians 3:10. And so knowing God is an ongoing process. We come to know him more and more. And that's really what salvation is all geared towards. That is not something that just takes place in the future. And on our last two programs of last week, on our Thursday and Friday broadcast, I began to get into these scriptures in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and chapter 5, where the Apostle Paul was giving us insight into how he thought and how he related to God. And I'm not going to go back over all of this, but real quickly, I just need to put this into context, that in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16, 17, and 18, the Apostle Paul talked about how light his affliction was, not because he had less problems than us, but because of the way he viewed things. First of all, it says in verse 17 that he considered his afflictions here just but for a moment, not talking about just an hour or two, but he was talking about that this whole life here on earth, it doesn't matter if you're 70, 80, 90, 100 years that we live here on the earth, that's like a drop in the bucket compared to eternity. When you put things in the light of eternity, it shrinks it down to really everything that happens in this life is nearly insignificant compared to eternity. And the second thing he mentioned in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18 is that he didn't look at things that are seen, but things that are not seen. Now, this nearly sounds contradictory. If you can't see it, then how do you look at it? And basically, he goes on into the fifth chapter and begins to start talking about the way we do this is we walk by faith and not by sight. That's 2 Corinthians 5:7. And he was talking about that we have an assurance that if this physical body was to die, we have a body prepared for us in heaven, a glorified body. There isn't any physical proof of that. You can't prove that in a way that is going to remove absolute doubt from anybody. There are some things that you have to perceive by faith. And I was just beginning to make some of these points on our program last Friday when we ran out of time. But I really believe that instead of just five senses, the way most people talk about what we see, taste, hear, smell, and feel, that God created mankind with six senses. That there is an intuitive part in our heart that we can know some things intuitively when there is no physical explanation, there is no reasoning. In other words, a scriptural way of saying this is that we aren't only physical, the way that a lot of people are trying to present it today, that we're just a hunk of chemicals and that if you have an emotional problem, you can treat it with a pill or do something like this. There is a spiritual being on the inside. Every one of us is a spiritual being. We have a soul, that's our emotions and our intellect, and we live in a body. But the spiritual being is something that is intangible. There is no way to prove it. You know, I mentioned this on our programs last week, but I've read things where scientists have tried to prove that there is an immortal soul on the inside of people, and they make attempts. But I don't believe that you can prove it. There are some things, like for instance, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. God created everything in a way that it takes faith to know Him. And this is the reason I'm using these scriptures. The Apostle Paul, see, says that he doesn't look at things that are seen, but things that are not seen. 2 Corinthians 4:18. Then he begins to talk about our body someday is going to be dissolved down here. We are going to die and we're going to lose this physical body. But he was absolutely confident. 2 Corinthians 5:6. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. He was confident. He was assured. He was absolutely convinced. By what? Not by just physical proof. You cannot prove to anybody's absolute satisfaction that there is going to be another body and another existence beyond this physical world. And so some people think, well, see, that's the reason that I have problems with Christians and people who operate in faith, because you're just taking this blind leap of faith. You have no proof of anything, and they're just basing their life on absolute proven things. They aren't walking by faith. Well, you can't really know God any other way. God set it up this way. You know, I said some of these things last week, but it's just so appropriate. I need to mention this here, that God could have set it up so that, I mean, He revealed Himself to you. He could stand in front of every person. He could make you bow the knee. When Jesus rose from the dead, He could have walked through the streets of Jerusalem and let all of those people who saw Him crucified just 3 days before touch Him and feel Him and see that He was risen from the dead. He could have appeared to Herod. He could have appeared to Pilate. He could have done a lot of things, but there is not a single scriptural example of Jesus in His resurrected body appearing to anybody who wasn't already a believer. God does not want people to bow the knee and acknowledge Him just because He's put His thumb on them and in some way manifested and proven Himself in a way that they have to do it. The Bible says again, Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And see, the Apostle Paul here, I believe, is revealing one of the reasons that he prospered in knowing God and in making God known to other people above most of his contemporaries. It's because he had some things by faith. He said a statement here, I've already used this, but he says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith and not by sight. What a radical statement, and something that is nearly diametrically opposed to the average Christian today. The average Christian does not walk by faith, but the average Christian walks nearly exclusively by sight. If you can't see, taste, hear, smell, or feel it, if your five senses can't perceive it, then most Christians just don't believe that it's so. I deal with people all the time. I pray with a lot of people for healing. And I pray with people and they will, you know, be believing, quote unquote, believing that God's going to heal them. And then I lay hands on them and pray for them. And if they don't feel perfect immediately, if their five senses can't perceive that God has done something, the average Christian will walk away believing it didn't work, that they didn't get anything. And that's not what the scripture says. The Bible says that you lay your hands on the sick and they shall recover. I believe that's Mark 16:18. It didn't say that they are just instantaneously perfect at that exact moment. Now, it can happen that way. That's what the Bible calls a miracle. But there are also healings. And when you pray for a person, and when you believe, you could have, like, say, for instance, cancer totally leave your body, and yet it would take a while for your body to recover from the effects that cancer had on your body. For instance, people, when they get cancer, they don't eat, they lose weight, they get weak because they haven't eaten, they have parts of their body that were eaten up and decayed, and you could actually kill every cancer cell in their body, and it would take a period of time for them to begin to start eating, gaining back their strength, for their organs, the anointing of God to restore them. And see, there's some people that just, if they don't feel it instantly, then they don't believe anything has happened. You know, people use more faith in that when they go to the doctor. When you take a pill, people will acknowledge that, you know, it's not going to work just the moment you put that pill in your mouth. They give it time to dissolve and get into your system. Sometimes it takes weeks of treatments before you start beginning to see any benefit. People have more faith in doctors and in medicine than they have in the power of God. And the Apostle Paul here is saying that this is not how the Christian is supposed to operate. There are some things that you can know by your heart that you cannot know by your head. If you are a skeptic watching this program, well, then you're going to say, yep, and that's exactly the criticism that I have against you Christians. But you know what? It's just absolutely true. There's some things that I have based my life on that I know because I believe in my heart, not because I've had it proven to me in a way that removes all doubts and questions. And a person, let me just say it this way, a person who is going to say, well, I refuse to live that way. I'm going only by proven, known things. If I can't see it, taste it, hear it, smell it, or feel it, if it can't be put in a test tube and somehow or another tested, then I'm not going to believe in it. Well, then I tell you what, you are going to live a very substandard life compared to what God wanted us to know. You know, I really want to get on in this fifth chapter into the 16th verse. It's a major thing. But along the way, let me just take a little detour that will prove and help make this point. Again, it's not going to prove it to a skeptic totally, but if you believe in the Bible, if you would listen to your heart, the Holy Spirit will quicken things to you and bear witness. It's not a blind leap of faith that God is asking us to make. He confirms things to us. He gives us assurances in our heart. Personally, I have had the Lord confirm Himself and His truths that are in the Scriptures to me hundreds, thousands of times in supernatural ways. But you know, the truth is, it still takes faith for me to perceive it. I couldn't necessarily prove it to anybody else. The very night that God intervened, I was born again when I was 8 years old, but the night that God really touched my life was in a prayer meeting, March the 23rd, 1968. And I mean, I've mentioned this before, I'm not going to go into a lot of detail, but just instantly, I knew some things. I knew that I was a religious hypocrite. I knew that I was a Pharisee, that I was trusting in my own goodness and not trusting in God. And I believe that that was God-given. I believe that God just like pulled back a curtain and revealed some things to me. There was nothing said. There was nothing in the natural. I'm sure that the other people that were in that prayer meeting probably wondered what had happened to me. It was not, I never heard an audible voice. I never saw God, but I knew I was in the presence of God. God instantly revealed to me my self-righteousness and my relative unworthiness. And as soon as I got through repenting of that and begging God's forgiveness, I just experienced a tangible love of God. And yet, I never saw anything. I didn't feel anything. I don't know how to describe this. It was so real to me that I believe if somebody would have poured, you know, something hot over me, and if I would have felt that just start at my head and go down over my body, what I felt wasn't any less real than that, and yet it wasn't tangible. It was something in my heart that I knew. I knew that God's love was flowing through me. Now to me, see, God proved Himself to me. God revealed Himself to me. But other people who were there in that very prayer meeting, did you know many of them aren't serving God today? Many of them have totally discounted what happened to me as being nothing but emotional. If I wanted to, here I am 40 years removed from that experience. And if I wanted to, I could look back at that, and if I was just to start questioning and trying to say, how do I know that that was really God? I was 18 years old. How do I know that I wasn't to see it? If I was to begin to think about things in only a critical way and start doubting and questioning everything, I could talk myself out of that. And yet, I know that it was revealed to me. And since that time, I've had hundreds, thousands of times where God has once again confirmed His reality. God has spoken to me. And if I had time, I could start showing you this building. It's an absolute miracle how we were led to this building, how God provided for it. Everything that I'm doing is, to me, a proof that God is real and that God speaks to me and that God is leading me. And yet if an atheist, if an agnostic, somebody who is a total skeptic came in here and started questioning, you know, you could come up with some physical answer about how things happen. And a skeptic could somehow or another explain all of this away. But I know in my heart, it has happened so many hundreds, thousands of times. The coincidence is just impossible. To me, there's a parallel between this and creation. You know, there's a lot of people that doubt that God created the earth. They just believe that all of this evolved and that we came from a hunk of slime that was somehow or another struck by lightning and all of this just evolved. And all of this high perfection in the human body and in the earth that we see is just happenstance and circumstance. There are people that actually embrace that and believe that stuff. And yet, if you would sit down and think about it, it takes more faith. It takes more faith to believe that you and I evolved and that this world just happened somehow or another. That takes more faith than to believe in God. It really does. You know, I was a mathematician when I was in college. That was my strong suit. And I took a number of different things. And I took a course on statistics. And I forget now exactly the things, but it was something like anything 1 to the 10th power or 2 to the 10th power, anything to the 10th power is statistically impossible. Every time you add something like, you know, 2 to the 2nd power, that's doubling it. And every time you do that, anything to the 10th power is a statistically impossibility. And yet, for evolution to take place, it is something like 1 to the 220 trillionth power. It is just astronomically impossible. I've heard it compared this way, that if you had an explosion in a printing shop, and if somehow or another that explosion caused all of these different elements to come together and it printed a Bible perfectly, word for word, there was no typeset, there was nothing done, but just all of these different things came together and this explosion caused all of those things to happen and print and bind a Bible. And I mean, millions of these Bibles just reproduce millions and millions and millions of times over. If somebody believes that throwing a bomb into a printing shop would just, you know, somehow or another, the random chance would cause all of these Bibles to be printed perfectly and bound and stacked, the chances of that happening are infinitely, infinitely more probable than random evolution, the way that it's presented. If you were to, you know, just take a bunch of parts in a junkyard and throw a bomb in there, the chances of that bomb causing those parts to come together and produce a perfect car with GPS and everything on it and everything just perfect and the thing polished and looking good, the chances of that happening are infinitely better than the chances of evolution. And yet people persist in evolution with this mindset that I just can't believe in something that I can't see. Well, people to believe in evolution are believing in something that they can't see. It cannot be verified. There is no evolution upwards. All evolution that we see in life is downwards. Things go from a state of order to a state of disorder. That's the second law of thermodynamics, or however you say that. You can tell I'm not a scientist. But anyway, what I'm saying is, to me, there is ample proof that God is the creator. Psalms chapter 19 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech. Night unto night showeth knowledge." There is no language, there's no tongue that this knowledge hasn't gone out through. In other words, there is ample proof for anybody who will listen to their heart and believe with more than just their five senses. But you know what? If a person is just going to say that all that there is to reality is what I can perceive with my five senses, and if I can't see it, taste it, hear it, smell it, or feel it, then it doesn't exist. A person who limits themselves to only knowing things that way and will not listen to the reason of their own heart is going to miss God. I guess that's what I'm trying to say, that I'm talking about knowing God, and I'm saying that to know God, it's like Paul is saying right here, you have to walk by faith. There are some things that you have to perceive by faith, not a blind leap of faith with no proof. There is ample proof, but it's not proof that is just limited to the five senses. There's a quickening of the Holy Spirit on the inside. You know, one of my employees, he wasn't raised in a Christian home, and he went away from the Lord for many, many years before he got born again and came back. But we were talking one day, and he said that there were indications along the way, and God was speaking to him. And now that he's born again, he can look back and see that God was speaking to him. And one of those times, he was raised in the Los Angeles area. And when he was a kid, I forget how old he was, but probably preteen, he climbed up on a hill, and it was, you know, towards sunset, and he was up there. And as the sun began to set, he just began to see all of these lights of Los Angeles come on. And he was looking at those lights, and as they began to come on, he just realized that every single light, there was millions of lights, every single light, somebody had to create that light bulb. Somebody had to install it. Somebody had to build those street lights. Every headlight was built by someone. And he was just looking at this and thinking that of all of the lights that people have made, and he realized that those lights didn't just happen naturally. They were created by man. And he said then his eyesight just changed from looking down on the city, and he looked up, and here was the sky full of millions of stars. And he said it was just such a logical progression. If every light in Los Angeles had to be created, they don't just happen. They just don't grow. It wasn't evolution. They didn't come to pass. I think everybody would have to admit that that is a logical conclusion. Well, then why in the world do we think that all of these billions of stars just accidentally came to pass? And see, some people will sit there and say, but there's no proof. Well, there's ample proof. Just in the same way as if you were to, if you were lost and if you were out walking someplace and then you walked over a hill and you saw light, you would know that there is people there or that there have been people there because you don't have a town and lights and all of these things just naturally occur. Somebody has to create it. And anybody would say, well, you can't prove that. Maybe this just happened. Well, we would look at that and think, you're crazy. Something's wrong with you. And yet, there are people that look out in the heavens and think, well, this just happened. I'm telling you that that's crazy. That's absolutely denying logic. Some people think that people who operate in faith are the ones who are taking a giant leap of faith. I tell you what, the people who are believing in evolution and just sitting there keeping their head in the sand and saying, I will not believe anything that I can't see, taste, hear, smell, or feel. I'm saying this in love, but I'm saying that is not logical. There are plenty of evidences that prove that there are things that are unseen that are yet real. You know, I'm out of time, but I'm going to be talking about this all week, and I'm going to share some things that will help you to come to walk by faith. This will really be a blessing. So if you'll listen.